All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm back with another video, and I'm going to reveal Euphoria today. So, let's basically start out. Euphoria is a multiple-route mystery visual novel developed by ClockUp. It's on sale right now. It's the last day of that sale, so you better get it now if you're going to get it from Manga Gamer. Let me go ahead and spoil the game for those that were ruined by the anime. Fuck the anime. Just ruined one of the biggest plots in the game, probably about 5 minutes into the first episode, which was the fact that the school was in disarray. You're not even supposed to know that you're in the school, or even near the school, when you're playing the game. When you're in the game, even the intro to the game itself doesn't even show any signs that you're in a school. You are with teachers and classmates, but you don't know that you're anywhere near the school. For all you know, you could have been kidnapped and brought to some other country, some other land. It could have been anything. You don't know. You don't know where you were, and there were no real signs of where you were. Especially going through all the main paths while you're in the white facility. You don't know anything about what's going on. And that made Euphoria what Euphoria was. That's why it worked. However, the visual or the anime, it shows Kanai tied up in the school on top of a desk in the classroom, and I'm like, oh no, don't show the school yet. That destroys everything. You almost want to beat the anime creators with sticks. Whoever said let's make it an anime, and they said let's not adapt it word for word, like it literally should have been. It literally should have been adapted as well as any kind of Shonen Jump manga. Or anything that, you know, they put a lot of care into. I mean, even Dragon Ball had episodes that didn't quite match the manga. People thought they were funny. But Dragon Ball didn't have a super ultra serious story. This one does. So, for Japan to just go ahead and say, oh, we're just going to take all the sexual parts into this game and make something of them. That's, no. You destroyed pretty much everything Euphoria was about. Anyway. Let's go on. You start out with Natsuki's route. Natsuki is, of course, the sensei, the teacher. And most of the things that you find out about her route are basically, they center around her being, in the H scene, she just talks about, oh, I'm a teacher and my student is doing this, my student is doing that. Dude, she's not a teacher. She's literally not a teacher. You'll find out more about that later, but she's just playing as a teacher. She just took the role. That's all she did. But Natsuki, she starts wondering who built the place. How much money they had. Just all kinds of very important questions. And she talked about how she was big into conspiracies and mysteries and action and all these kinds of different movies, basically. She said she thought that she felt like she was in one of those movies, and it was kind of a thing that she enjoyed. It gave her like a sort of a sense of adrenaline, so she loved that. But the thing about that, guys, is that, we find out that maybe she's got a little bit more talents than what she's telling us, especially how she just completely destroys, like, the students. I mean, completely destroys the students, saves Kanai right after the whole situation in the school, as you already know from watching episode 6, if you watched it on MGTOW.TV, you will find out that, obviously, there's more to the game than just the facility, and, Nemu has control of the school, there was a death game. She won the death game, and she was given the control of the collars to manipulate people's consciousness. It actually goes much further than that. And basically, Natsuki, basically what she does is she creates this pepper spray, capsaicin, it's a capsaicin bomb. And she basically explodes it in the gym, and everybody just goes, capsaicin is not nothing to fuck with. If you explode a bomb made of capsaicin, you can cause some damage. And the students that actually didn't get harmed by it, she would just take out her own mace and mace them. And it was no issue. She actually beat them non-violently, even though it is a very hardcore method. And she was able to get Kanai and escape. And once they escaped, they basically left, and I think they took Kanai to like a mental hospital, something like that. And they basically left and went to a fucking tropical island. It's the best ending in the world. Guy gets to go with this this mature, young, beautiful woman. And I don't know. I think it's pretty good for him. It was kind of the hot for teacher ending, but it ended really well. I like that ending. It's one of my favorite endings in the game. And of course, Natsuki appeals to me because I'm in my 30s and she's round about my age, I guess. So I guess a woman like that kind of appeals to me, especially one that keeps herself in gear and talks about exercising and health. And that's because of her her main job, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, Natsuki, got a lot of respect for her. She's cool. She also is the only one that does the boob job one. Like, the real boob job one. And that, yes, love that. Love that H scene. It's even tasteful. It's even tasteful. I'm serious. I know a lot of the scenes in Euphoria, they're supposed to be over the top. But there are some tasteful ones. And she does some very tasteful scenes. So I really like, the Natsuki path. And it is the first path you need to go. It's probably one of the more tame paths. Now, then you have the Rika path. Oh, I hate the Rika path. The Rika is not, to be fair, she is not a loli character. She's not even listed as lolicon. VNDB doesn't consider her a lolicon. What she is she is a slightly, she's a year younger than the other waifus. However, she's one of these girls that everybody spoiled her all the time. So even though she's older, she still acts like a kid because she never had to grow up. That's why she acts and behaves that way, because she never had to grow up. Obviously here, I'm just checking to make sure I'm recording. But she never had to grow up. And basically, she treats the whole thing as a little child. I kind of wanted her to go instead of Class Rep, because I liked Class Rep. I think Class Rep would have been much better character. I think Class Rep was just a complete waste. I wanted that character to have more scenes. That character was kind of a bitch, and it would have been really interesting to have her play. Like, her dynamic with Nemu would have been nice. I would like to have seen that, because they both have kind of a similar dynamic, but a little different, because Nemu's kind of more devious, and she's not. She's just really rebellious, I guess you could say. She might actually try to fuck shit up in there. So that would have been kind of interesting to see. She might have actually gotten into fights with some of the girls, or even found out what Nemu was doing and ended up strangling her right in the fucking white facility. I would have liked to have seen that. That would have been great. But, yeah, Class Rep, yeah, she died, and Rika fucking survived, and you have to deal with Rika. Basically, she don't want to do anything. He's damn near having, I mean, it's real rape. When they do those scenes, those are real rape. I mean, it's not real rape, because real rape involves a human being. And I do not condone any form of real rape or sexual abuse. This is only just a game. It's hard to watch. It's really hard to even watch. And when you see something like that with Rika, just the way she acts like a little child, and just the way she behaves, like he has to actually pick her up by the throat and throw her up against the wall, has threatened to fucking kill her a couple times before she finally settles down, and he does, like, the most horrible things with her, because, I mean, that's just what the fucking game is. The game is actually manipulating his consciousness to create the stuff that's in the boxes. So the stuff that's in the boxes are actually a result of his own imagination. Keisuke has a really fucked up imagination. He's got a beast inside of him. And I'll tell you what happens when that beast is fully unleashed. Because there is that ending. There is literally the brutal ending. That is the fucking craziest shit ever. But we got to get through Rika. Rika basically, I mean, it's hard to watch, but the only thing you find out about Rika is, like, the invisible enemy. And the invisible enemy is really not that interesting. I mean, because you do find out about the invisible enemy in Nemu's ending, and that's a hell of a lot more interesting. I mean, you don't have to go through Rika's crap. And Rika also, there is, like, this rooftop game that they do, where you can save Kanai or Rika, and basically, I think Kanai dies, and Rika is saved, and the invisible enemy catches Rika, and basically throws her, because the invisible enemy has a suit that gives her, like, superhuman strength and power or something, and basically, she says, you complete, it's like, game complete, you're the winner. It's like, go home, you know, basically, you've earned it. So, what they do is they say that, and this even happens in the true ending, but what they do is they say that the entire incident was caused by a gas leak, very similar to Higurashi, but a gas leak underneath, with a facility underneath the school that caused a lot of students to die, and there were several survivors. And only a few survivors were actually published. I don't even think Keisuke was listed as a survivor. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe that means he gets to be a... Well, he does. But let me not get ahead of myself. Because, yeah, we'll go into epilogue when I get there. But, yeah, the Rika path, not that much. It's really not that useful. I mean, if you want to just hit the damn button and just skip through it, be my guest. There's not even anything... that you're gonna, even in the true ending, I'm just gonna say, even in the true ending, she doesn't really play that much of a part. It's literally a damn near useless character. It's an annoying character, and the only thing that really, really, really fucking made me happy, and I hate to say this, is when he refused in the Rinne path, because we've seen the Rinne path, I'm not going back through that, about her being the crazy cult leader and stuff, but basically, when she... cuts, when she basically kills herself, she takes the knife and just keeps cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting until she damn near decapitates herself and dies and bleeds to death. I know that's horrible, right? But I hated that character so much. I mean, just, it was so annoying and it got on my nerves, and then when you're with it, it's the most horrible, terrible things. You want to strangle, Keisuke, you're like, oh, you dumbass. You know, when everybody's like, oh, you might need to leave Rika alone. And it's like, I don't even really want to do Rika. But because of the way these mystery route novels are made, you have to play every fucking path before you can unlock the true ending and finish the game. So it forces you to play Rika. I didn't want to play Rika, but I had to. But yeah, Rika, basically, I mean, there's a picture over there. I cannot fucking stand her. I was so glad when she finally died. I was like, ugh. But now we're going to get into Nemu. Nemu. Okay. Oh my god. The Nemu ending is really vast. There's just a lot that happens. First of all, you would think that he and her would kind of get along. They don't. They don't. A matter of fact, she rapes him in the VIP room. He's not cool about it at all. He is not going for that. He is not going for that. There is no love scene. There is no happy ending for Nemu. None. A matter of fact, he keeps pining for Kanai. The whole time he's pining for Kanai. And she gets fucking pissed. She loses her mind. And she starts basically torturing Kanai and Rika. There's one where Rika basically has to pretend she's a dog. And of course, there's two ways you can go about that. And I'll tell you the second way, because that's the brutal ending. But first, we'll do the regular ending, where he basically has to get her to poop and whatever. It's really stupid. But they do make her look kind of cute, because they put these little dog paws on. So yes, there's some kawaii thing going on. But other than that, yeah, it's really not that great to watch. But there's that one. And then, of course, she does her, oh god, that tube. You've probably seen it online where they put the laxative in the tube and they basically diarrhea in each other's mouth, and they vomit it up and it goes into their anus. Yeah, it's hardcore. And of course, dude gets off on that. I mean, it's like, ugh, That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You know, just, ugh. But Namor was trying to appeal to his bestial lust, his crazy, depraved sense, because the whole point of it was that he was a depraved monster. Keisuke is a depraved monster. Just like where they had Kanai become a human washing machine. And basically she had to eat, I don't know what the first item was, but then there was this old dirty sock. Of course she spat it out. And then she put it back in and she swallowed it. And then it had this pair of underwear and it had a brown stain on it. And oh my God, she was just like, ugh, she spat it out. So then the student goes and pees on it. And she has to go ahead and swallow it anyways. A terrible, terrible scene. And of course they get Rene. They get Rene, and they turn Rene into a human toilet, and that is terrible to watch. It's the most disturbing, horrible fucking thing. And later on, when you come back, you see Rene, like, she's part of this concrete slab, and basically they have all this writing, you know, kind of how, like, people... Basically, when I went to venues, when I went to all these rock and metal shows, you'd see these, I mean, literal venues, just people writing shit all over the toilets and stuff. That's kind of what they did to her. They had all kinds of graffiti everywhere. They call it slut or all that kind of stuff. But basically, Rene gives him the secret to defeating Namor, because he wants to defeat Namor. He wants to stop this. He wants Kanai. And in order to do that, she says, the game is not ended. And one thing he finds is, in the broadcast room, he finds the original recording for the death game. And, of course, they talk about how points were scored in the death game. The death game is not like something like Squid Game on Netflix. It's very popular right now. I'm not sure if there's death in that. I think it could be something like where death is. But I know that Japanese really love death games, and they love what was it called? I can't remember the one that spawned it all. I actually watched it. The big where they're all on an island and they have to kill each other. Battle Royale. Yeah. But they love that kind of stuff, and obviously that's the kind of game that went first. Now, you would get 1 point for each kill, and you would get a point for tortures. So you could torture somebody and get a point. So that's why people that were great killers and great torturers had a chance of being the dictator, because the goal was to be a dictator, to control the whole school. That means the students, everything else, you control everything. And the people that created the game, they would basically give you the rights to use this technology, and you have the invisible hand or the invisible enemy that you can use to control and keep your control. So that's very interesting. And Namor won, so she had control. And basically, what finally happened at the end of it, after Keisuke just got fucking tired of all this shit, he basically says, he's like, all right, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm tired of your shit. Because you got to keep in mind, she had all the students just treating him like crap. There was one scene where he vomited, and they basically pushed him into it and beat the shit out of him. They're like, careful, we don't want to leave any bruises on his face or anything that you know, they would know what was going on. And every single student, male student that survived, acts like an alpha bro. It is so stupid. They all act like alpha bros. And I mean, you know how alpha bros would fuck. Like, come on, you little bitch. Like, fucking, you don't know how to do your... Like, every single line that these guys say is legitimately the worst over the top. And I mean, literally misogynistic shit I've ever read. It's like, this bitch doesn't know how to suck dick right. I'm gonna have to... Like, I'm serious, dude. Every single guy on the entire fucking campus. Every single one of them. And I was like, oh my God, why are they all acting like that? Like, all Namor's people are like that. And all the girls are timid. They're very timid. Probably because they're the ones that keep getting raped over and over and over again. That's one part of Namor's gift that she gives to her people. They can have their way with their desires or whatever. So, of course, the guys overpower the girls, as in biology. And, yeah, that's what happens. And, of course, everybody knows Kung Fu. I mean... Our hero, or lack of hero, I don't know, anti-hero, I don't know what we want to call him, but he keeps getting his ass kicked, and, I mean, they beat the shit out of Keisuke. They beat his fucking ass several times. I don't know how the hell he survives. But anyway, they do manage to go ahead and finally get to the point where he says, you know what, I'm tired of this shit. I'm done. I'm not going to serve you anymore. And she says, all right, put Kanai in the room. And she tells her guys, she says, go ahead, do what you want with her. Undress her, rape her, kill her, I don't care. And he loses his fucking mind. Keisuke takes his arm, hands, he fucking strangles the shit out of her. And he's literally strangling her. And then he quits as he's just about to snap her fucking collarbone. Or I think it's a collarbone. And somebody stabs him in the back. And I bet it's the invisible enemy. But that kills him. And she says, why didn't you just kill me? And that's how the ending for Nemu is. Now, to get into the brutal ending, you have to kind of go back, because they'll give you some new choices. And you have to basically choose to be an absolute fucking asshole. And once you do that, you'll get the brutal ending. The difference between the brutal ending is, of course, there's one choice that's like, thoroughly train her to be a dog. And we're talking about, obviously, Rika. So basically, once you've done all that, the very last choice is torture her. And what happens is exactly what you saw in the, I think it's the Kanai Path. The Kanai Path, where, of course, it basically asks you if you want to torture, if you want to kill, but it basically shows you killing Kanai. And there's a little bit more to it. But yeah, I completely forgot that Kanai Path, which doesn't open until you get all the rest. But Kanai's Path, it's basically, oh, she's the childhood friend, and she feels bad about it. And of course, he's like, oh, I'm doing this to my childhood friend. I'm doing that to my childhood friend. I'm having sex with my childhood friend. Blah, 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 blah. It's not really that great. Some of the things that he does are absolutely depraved of her. But finally, after that, I can't remember that last one. Oh, yeah, the last one's where he has all those little electrodes hooked up to her and just goes crazy. Just like the last Nemu one is where he uses her as a toilet, and that was nuts. And then I think there's one where Natsuki is reduced to a baby. Oh yeah, there's one other thing about the Natsuki. She does not like being treated the way she does in those games, and she gets him back. She does get him back. She says, you know, I don't mind you doing, you know, indulging in your fantasies, but you need to know where the line is. She says, I understand this is a game, and I understand you're doing your fantasy, but you need to learn where the line is, you know. And he does kind of learn a lot of things from her. He does change his mind a lot at the end of that ending, which is why I liked it so much, because it did show character development. It's a good ending on its own. If you didn't want to know about the true ending to the game and didn't care about all the super ultra deep mystical crap, that would be a good ending for you. Like, right there at Natsuki, you probably get as much as you need from the game. But anyway, back to the brutal ending. The brutal ending is basically, yes, he goes and he tortures Kanai. And after he tortures Kanai, he kills her. He straight up fucking takes a surgical knife and just tears out her organs, and she's dead. And it doesn't look as crazy as it does in the red. Like, you'll see a red screen where, like, her bones are showing in her face. It's not that crazy. They didn't make it that insane. They were just trying to scare you to make it look worse than what it was. It still wasn't good, but, you know, they made it look a lot worse in the scare scenes, or the things that you'd see try to really freak you out. Because that's what they would do during the Kanai route. They'd show him trying to give into his lust where he wants to kill her. And he does. And after he kills her, he also goes and he's confronted with Nemu. And Nemu says, okay, I don't need my invisible enemy anymore. And all of a sudden, he throws that enemy down, and Kaisuke decides to fill up her gas mask, because she's wearing a gas mask full of the super strong, basically, I mean, sex drug. It's aphrodisiac. You know how they use aphrodisiacs in these games. And she holds her breath for 10 minutes. And after she finally gives up, you find out that the invisible enemy is Natsuki. And the thing about Natsuki is, we always see her die in the rescue game. She always looks down at the bottom, almost like she's lifeless, and she goes down into the water and she dies and there's no way to save her. That's because she was never dead, she just takes her role as the invisible enemy. And he basically fucks her and that's it. Like, after he fucks her, he goes and he's given the ability, like the game master steps in and it's just a shadow man. And basically they give him the ability to control the whole game. So basically he puts a collar on Nemu's neck and he turns her into a blowjob doll. He basically gives her all this, puts all this plastic in her mouth and puts these great big plastic lips, like just gives her all these. She looks like one of those bad plastic surgery people or like the super bimbos on the face. And he basically uses her as a blowjob doll. He says, well, I took this part out of your mouth so that your blowjobs will be perfect and all that. And that's basically what he does to her. He fucking completely humiliates her like that. And once he's fully humiliated her, and once everything is finished during those three 8 scenes, which happen one after another, you get one last scene, and it's pretty depraved, but I'll tell you about it. Basically, he graduates from school, everything's fine, and then he goes into the collection room. The collection room of the school is where he has all the girls. The first one is Rika, and she's the puppy. He's basically got her convinced she is a dog, and basically she's pregnant, and he says, you're gonna have a nice litter for me. Then the next one is he calls his Moo Cow, which is Natsuki, and he made her breasts, like, immensely large, the size that they're just dragging on the, just dragging way, like, a mile from the ground. It's ridiculous what they've done. And he basically gave her this drug so she doesn't have to think, and she acts like an idiot, and she just, it says, like, Moo, Moo. You know, it is kind of lame. But there is one really interesting thing he did, and I'm really kind of upset that they didn't do this in the game. Of course, the character is Rene, I'm talking, like you're seeing right here now. Rene was actually used as a whipping thing. She basically hangs up from the ceiling and he whips her. However, he got this really skilled tattoo artist to do a job on her, to do authentic Japanese artwork on her body. And this isn't the kind of like thought shit. No, this is actually a really good authentic kind of work on her arm and leg, and I really liked the way they did it. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And it's like, I'm really upset that they didn't use that in game, because that looks really neat for that character, and it's kind of a waste of that design that somebody had to intricately draw on that character. But it's used in those scenes, and of course he whips her and she whines. And then they have, of course, Nemu up top looking like she's in a cocoon up there on the ceiling. And finally, you have Kanai, who has been embalmed, basically. She's got glass eyes, and he basically just pats her on the head. And he says, oh, yeah, you'll always be pretty forever. Kind of like she's like a doll, but doesn't even move. Kind of like a taxidermy job. So, yeah, that's how that ends. And that's it. He says that's his collection that he comes back to all the time. And that was the super brutal end. Now, the real end to the game actually happens when Kanai's end kind of flows into Nemu's end, because they're very combined together. And of course, there's a lot of scenes with Kanai. There's actually a sex scene with Kanai that's very happy. Several sex scenes with Kanai are very happy. It's, you know, obvious she is the childhood friend, the one he loves, and they talk about the stars and the meteor shower and how everything used to be nice and happy and all that kind of stuff. And how he first met her, which is very, very interesting, because he met her in a cave. He met her as a girl that was lost in a cave, and they went out and they saw the stars. And it was really interesting, right? She loved it. So she had fond memories of Kaisuke. And even though all this shit happened, she didn't want to lose all that. Now, the bad thing about it is, of course, well, I'll get to the bad thing. It all starts when, of course, he's got his hands around Nemu's neck. But this time, there's a snap. And guess what? His eyes close, and all of a sudden, he's back in the white room. Now, hold on, because this is where things get interesting. He wakes up in the white room, and there's a woman that looks like Kanai, but she has a lab coat on. And he wakes up from a pool of water, and he steps out of it, and they basically tell him that everything he's experienced up to now has been a virtual reality simulation. And yes, this is confirmed. This is not, it was a dream. This is, yes, it was a simulation. So everything we've experienced is a simulation. He was not the only one in the simulator. Rika was also in the simulator. That's why she doesn't play that much of a role, because she was just another person that volunteered for the experiment. Now, they tried to say it was an after-school thing, like an after-school sleep thing, but it's deeper than that. It's way deeper than that. Natsuke was also part of it, but Natsuke works for the company that is in charge of all this. Of course, she has she's a hired hand. You'll learn more about that later. And at first, he's like, okay, if this is just a game, well, just, you know, he says, I just want to relax and go back to the real world so that things can be normal again. So she takes him in a room, and she basically puts a needle in him, and he goes to sleep, and that's your first ending. Then you have your second ending. Your second ending is the one where, I mean, these are bad ends, by the way, but your second ending is the one where basically he is saying, oh no, it's not a game, it's not a game. And he runs out of the room, and he sees a room that's just like the one in the white room with, you know, the big pendulum in front of it that has the computers and all that stuff. And basically he's running around there, and all the people in the little glass, because they describe them as like little glass coffin things, and they're all saying, what are you doing running around? Where's your caretaker? And he's like, he's just losing his mind. So basically he runs out, he runs out of the cave, up through the mountain. He says he descends down, all the way down at the end of the mountain. He finds a farmhouse in the middle of the damn field. So he goes out in the farmhouse, he starts knocking on the door, and there's an old man that answers, and he talks about what happened. And he says, oh, that's terrible, hold on, let me get my wife. And his wife, you know, calls the police. I know, he basically gets her to call the police, and he says, come in for a moment, you'll be fine here. And then all of a sudden, he says, just, you know, relax for a minute, and he just, you know, his eyes start to close, and when he wakes up, he's in the white room again. And he says, huh, what happened? And she says, oh, I've just been fucking with you, basically, the woman that claims to be Kanai. She says, no, basically, I changed your information on your collar, because he still has his collar on, to make you think that you've descended the mountain and you're going to a farmhouse, when really, I led you all the way back to this room, and when you open the door to the farmhouse, you open the door to this room. So basically, she tricked him. And keep in mind, she says, you know, I've been playing the role of the childhood friend, of the sweet, caring, but that's not me. That's not me at all. That's not the kind of person I am. I was just playing that role. That was all I was doing. And I was having fun with you. She's not Kanai at all. Like the Kanai we know. She's a devious, crazy bitch. And you have no idea how devious and crazy she is. But she leads him into another room. And we find Rene. The real Rene. This Rene is part of her body with robotic arms and all these little things coming out, like these little tubes coming out from her head. And basically, she's part of this machine now. And she basically still calls him father and all this other stuff. And it's really bizarre and weird. but there's all these tentacles and all these other things that come out. And, I mean, there's no sex and no craziness in that scene, but it does freak him out a little bit. And finally, like, he does ask her, he says, okay, help me, save me. And she does. She makes him her dog, and she basically does a sex scene. There's an H scene. It's a really fucked up one where she's basically manipulating him while he's got all of his senses covered, like he's locked down, his arms are pinned down, and basically she just does what she wants with him. And that's how that one ends. And then you have the ending where... Okay, let me think about everything, because, I mean, that was that one ending. But you have this one ending where basically she basically tries to get him to say, like, he's like, basically, I want to go back. I want to do things again. So she brings him back into the high school. And of course, everything is fine at first, and it seems like everything is normal. And then all of a sudden, she says, oh, I'm ready to be your sex slave. He's like, but this isn't what I want. These aren't the memories I had. He's like, yeah, but you think things are going to be the same after you made me your sex slave and everything else? He's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, yeah, that's what happens with that one. And, basically, there's this one thing where you have to say, I love you. And then she goes back and she loops it again and again. She loops it 5 times to where she says the same things over and over, trying to make herself or make you think that she's Kanai again. And she's like, and you have to say, I love you. And then finally, she said, oh my God, you're so stupid. You love this person so much that I created. I just like, okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to show you who really is responsible for all this. And, you know, who really created all this stuff. And, you know, what all this is being done for, basically. Not who created it. Well, she does talk about that. But basically, she talks about Nemu and basically the whole project. All right, so here's where things get interesting. First of all, Kanai and Nemu made a bet that he would basically it was a thing that, oh, I can't quite remember all that, but, oh, anyway, I mean, that's why sometimes you might actually need to play it, because it is a 5-hour thing I'm trying to explain, like 5-hour true ending I'm trying to explain here. But basically what happened here is there was a deal between the two, and there was something that was made, and basically Nemu, and I mean the real Nemu, who's actually a very soft-spoken, nice girl, very much like the real Kanai, she was having a deal with the other Kanai, the real Kanai, the one that was a programmer that was able to manipulate the dreams of this girl in basically a tube called Sleeping Beauty. When you go into paradise, and you remember at the end of Renee's path, you'll see the door to paradise. When you go into that door, and for real, you'll see all kinds of scientists and everything else, and then you see this great big tube with this girl dreaming. And that's her. That's Sleeping Beauty. Basically, what they did is these super rich elites decided that they wanted to be in these life-sustaining glass coffins that allow them to prolong their life while they dream through this little girl. Well, she's not that little. She's about a teenager. But basically, what they did is they found out that this woman was suicidal. She didn't want to live life. And they basically took her and they put her in a tube where she could dream. And they said her dreams were euphoric. And they could look at her dreams. And they could actually use her brainwave DNA and link it into a computer system to where these old fucks could create their own worlds, their own desires, their own euphoria based on this girl's dream world. And basically, what Kanai was chosen to do was to hack it, was to program it, because she was the only one that could do it. So basically, that's what they did. They basically went around and they had this girl trained or to well I mean she was well she was forever asleep, and they would basically use body parts of other students and stuff to go ahead and replace her body parts, because Sleeping Beauty, you know, her body parts would wear out, so they'd have to replace them. And that's how they basically did their little thing. It was called Project Paradise. And Namu was going to be the next candidate. So what they did is they made Namu, who wanted to just have a regular fucking life, they made her experience this death game. And the purpose of the death game was for her to see how cruel the world was. So she would want to kill herself, so that she would want to give herself up to become the next Sleeping Beauty. So the reason, so that's what they did. And they were even having bets, the elites, like with alcohol, glasses of alcohol in their hand, were betting on who was going to win these death games. They were way off in safe and secure places, betting on high school kids that were going to kill each other and torture each other and rape each other. And they were basically doing bets on it, which isn't out of character. I'm going to say it, man. I'm going to bring up Jack Dorsey again and his pedophile shit that he just leaves on Twitter. Just leaves on Twitter. They had to do a fucking court case. There's still cases where he's on there. I mean, there's so much shit of these elites. We know about the elites. It's Epstein and all that kind of stuff. This doesn't sound too out of character now, does it, fellas? Sounded a little bit Alex Jones here. A little bit Alex Jones. Like, if I told Alex Jones, hey, the elites with their life-preserving things, they were using a little girl to dream. They were manipulating her dream so that they could live. That sounds right out of something Alex Jones would tell you, doesn't it? Sure does. Well, that's pretty much what they were doing there. And of course, there was one situation in the true end where she's like, you know, hey, I want to live with you in this euphoric dream together. We could just be like classmates. And they basically have the real happy sex scene with Namu, because it's not the same Namu. It's the real Namu, the original happy, carefree Namu that he met in the cave originally. He met Namu in the cave, not Kanai. Kanai manipulated him to think he met Kanai, but he met Namu in the cave. And Namu saw the stars with him. And Namu, as a little girl, basically got punished by having him have his memories wiped. Because they said that, you know, because she had grown up in the lab, and she was basically an experiment of experiment. It's just a really weird shit. If you want to talk about all the backstories as far as using a zygote to change Byakuya-san Rinne from a man to a woman, because there was that other cult that was post-World War II, that was a real thing. Her mother and all that stuff, that really fucking did happen in the lore. That actually happened in the lore. That wasn't something that they experienced in the VR. That was actually going on. But again, she could never become a messiah because she was a woman. They switched her up. They added another zygote so that the child was female. And that's why it was a failed attempt, because they were trying to turn it into a Sleeping Beauty, and it didn't work. So they created it as part of a machine. And he does see her before he leaves the facility for the final time. And of course, you know, she wants him to be happy and all that, but it's not really much else to that. We don't see anything from Rika. I mean, Rika, she's done. Like, we don't hear anything from Rika after that. She was just a regular girl that had very little plot to play, very little role to play at all. So, if you were expecting something, there's really nothing to Rika. It was just kind of dumb at that point. I don't even really know if she had any special ties to any of this. I don't think she did. Again, class rep would have been more interesting. I say that again and again. But the big part of it is when he has to deny her and tell her, you know what, I can't live in this fantasy that you want me to live in. I don't want to be in this paradise for these rich people. I want to live life. I want to take you and show you the meteor shower. I want you to basically love the world. It's a hard place. It's a harsh place, but I want you to live in it. I want you to experience it. Because he says to her, he says, we're not fit to live in paradise. We've done way too much to be, you know, worthy of paradise. So, I mean, and she even stands before him in the form of the door, telling him, no, you can't, you know, you can't do this. I don't want you to leave. And he's like, well, she says, I'm going to do this. I have to do this. So basically, he steps through the door. And after he steps through the door, Kanai finally says, you know what? It's done. You've won. It's over. I'm finished. I'm tired of playing with you. I can't play with you anymore. This is it. She basically gives up. And Natsuki comes by, and Natsuki says, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm going to let you leave. And she puts something in his pocket, and he runs off. And after he runs off, he kind of gets confusing because, you know, all the doors look the same. It's just like the white facility, and there's really nobody telling him how to get out of there. But he runs back into Rene, and Rene, of course, for the final time, tells him where to go and how to leave. And, you know, of course, she calls him father and all this other stuff. But he was indeed kidnapped. That shit was real. He was kidnapped. That was a real situation. She very well may be his kid. It's fucked up, I know. But he does leave. And once he does leave, well, basically, he goes down the mountain, and he does it on his own. He says, "Well, I'm gonna be my own man now," and he basically kind of gets a job, and you know, just does his thing for a little while. But he's still worried about Kanai. He's still worried about Nemu and all this other stuff. Well, he's worried about Nemu, rather. Not worried about Kanai. He loves Nemu. He finds out that Nemu is the Kanai he wanted. It's really bizarre, but that's who he wants. So basically, and the epilogue, after the long-ass credits, because there's another credit scene, the epilogue, he asks to meet up with Natsuki 3 years later. And basically, he asked Natsuki to train him. He said, she asked him. She said, are you going to be able, or do you want revenge? He says, no, I don't want revenge. She says, good, because you got to realize you're powerless. There's nothing you can do. You cannot fight them. She said, you're smarter than most men your age. And he says, I do want power, though. I do want strength. I do want to be able to save Nemu. And she says, okay, I will teach you. And he finds out that Natsuki is a mercenary. She's a mercenary for hire. She was not ever like a main employee. She quit. She quit the company. She says, I'm done with Paradise. And guess who else quit? Or just rather was a spy? Kanai. Kanai, this great programmer, she was a spy for Company B. Company A basically was the Paradise Project. Company B was a company that she was spying for. And then she went and took her stuff from Company B and she gave it to Company C. So now she has Company B and C after her ass because she left with Nemu, the Sleeping Beauty. She actually stole Nemu from the facility, by the way, because she was trying to give all these secrets to other companies. And again, it's all companies behind all this shit, which makes perfect fucking sense, by the way. You look at Jeff Bezos looking at life extension technology. You're looking at this shit right now. It's very possible. So, basically, she does train him. And he becomes a mercenary. And I mean, he finds out his old man that raised him. You know, he talked about his old man, you know, would help him fix bikes and stuff like that. But he's like, why didn't this old man teach me how to fight if he was a mercenary? And they're saying, well, basically, he didn't want you to be a fighter. He didn't want you to have to deal with this. But now it seems that his old man's death wasn't an accident, that it was probably planned. It was probably planned so they could put him as part of this because his old man was a mercenary as part of the Paradise Project with Natsuki. Natsuki more or less knew his old man. But basically, he becomes a mercenary. He takes jobs on himself. He's a much older man now. Much, much older. Full-on mercenary. We don't even get to see what he looks like older. But we can kind of gather that he's, you know, just a different guy now. Like a, you know, mature man. And he says, I'm going to go ahead and rescue her. So he goes in there, and of course he tries to find the facility. He can't find a facility anymore. He goes to the school, and of course the school's a mess. There's nothing really there. And he goes to the facility, you know, like, again, he can't find the facility anywhere. He tries. He can't find, you know, any source of it or nothing like that. It's like it never existed. And then all of a sudden, he finds out that, basically, Kanai has been found. They found Kanai, and they trace her signal. And it turns out that because she was hiding all these companies and doing all this shit, she wound up on the bad end of a business deal. Somebody stabbed her ass. And basically, she's kind of forgives... he meets her one last time, and she's bleeding to death. And she does die. I mean, it's over. They said that her lips are already starting to turn blue. She doesn't say a whole lot, but she kind of, you know, says, oh, you know, she... there's really not much to say at that point. I mean, I didn't have any good feelings towards her, because she was an absolute bitch when she fucked with him, you know, after all this, trying to pretend to be Kanai. And then, of course, he wants to know where Nemu is, and she points it out, and there's a black sheet in the back of this van or truck or something she's using, and basically he reveals the sheet, and it's Kanai, and she's got it's Nemu, and Nemu's got this long hair now. It's like she hasn't groomed or anything in years, and she's basically a different looking girl, and she's got the mind of a fucking 8-year-old. Literally, yes, she has the mind of an 8-year-old. She's back to talking about, oh, I want to go see the stars. And I mean, no, she's seriously acting like she was back then. So it looks like they mind wiped her a little bit. And she's to the point now, or Kanai did. But anyway, she's back to her old 8-year-old personality. All the Nemu that we know from her being mature is gone. It's wiped. It doesn't exist. So guess what? The best that Kaisuke can hope for Nemu now is to have an adopted daughter. Because by now, Kaisuke is a grown fucking man. And she is an adult, but she has the mind of an 8-year-old child. And she's got the mind of an 8-year-old child because everything's been wiped. So it is going to be the most awkward thing in the entire world for Kaisuke to want that. Even though he's this... I mean, all of his lusts and stuff, that isn't even talked about. By the way, this is like 5 hours of no sex. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's like a lot. There's the whole sex part of the novel just disappears. It's gone. There's about 2 sex scenes in the true end. That's it. So, epilogue, no sex at all. And, of course, Kaisuke's a different person. He may have had these lusts and everything, but he's a grown man. He's been trained hard. He's been trained as a mercenary. I don't know what he did. I don't know what his life was like. But, yeah, it's a different thing. And that's how they end it. Like, that's the full ending. That's the true ending. That's everything. Because, I mean, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think. I like it, but it's not fucking perfect. It's not fucking perfect. I had to give it a 9 instead of a 10 because I don't like the Casca. Basically, what they did to Nemu was Casca. They made her like where she doesn't remember anything, and it's so stupid. Like, there's no way to really jar her memory back, and she's always going to have the mind of a child. They've just really destroyed her. They destroyed Nemu. He's got Nemu back, but at what cost? You know? It would have been better if he had just left everything alone. Become a mercenary. I'm sure he found all kinds of girls. I'm sure there's all kinds of women. I don't even say girls, but women that he could have hooked up with and other stuff. I mean, he's a big bad mercenary now. Come on now. It might be time to go find something else. You know, maybe holding on to the past was the problem. Maybe he shouldn't have gone over there to look for the facility, to go back to the school, to go back to all this, you know, all this stuff that had happened. Just leave it all alone. Leave it behind. That's probably the best thing he could have done. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And you know what? He reaped his rewards. He reaped. He said, you want your name in so bad? Here she is. She's an 8-year-old girl now. So if you want a daughter, there's your daughter. I mean, there's nobody else. He'd have to take guardianship of her. I mean, we have to look at this logically. I mean, I hope to God he's not going to do anything with her. Not with the mind of an 8-year-old. That's disgusting. I couldn't even imagine anything like that. I don't care if she is an adult. That's way over my limit. I would hope to hell he's learned better. I would hope to hell he's grown as a person from all this. Yes, he had a lot of experiences, but they were all in his mind in a virtual reality experiment. Okay? They were all part of some girl's dreams. That's how they got the stuff to be so vivid, because they were using the girl's dreams to influence the euphoria. That's why everything felt so real, because it was the kind of thing that you feel in a dream when it's very real. That's basically what it was. It was like a dream-based virtual reality simulator. But yeah, that's, I mean, it just tells us that sometimes it's better to just leave the past in the past. Don't go back to the past. You can't relive the past. The past is over. People move on and change. I don't know what would have happened to Namu. Maybe it's none of his business anymore. I hate to sound like that, but maybe it was none of his business. Maybe it was none of his business. The let her go from company to company. If she gets killed, maybe she gets put in foster care. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she gets put in a mental hospital where she can get research. I don't know. Maybe they take her back. At this point, she probably just become another Sleeping Beauty, because there's really nothing else you could do. And by then, the Paradise Project probably evolved so much that, you know, because from company to company were researching it. Everybody wanted to know about this Paradise Project. God knows what would have happened to her. But at the same time, that's not his fucking priority anymore. You know, he should have moved on. I really feel he should have moved on. That's just me. But I really liked the storytelling, and I liked what Namu's voice actor said at the very end. She said, this is a very dirty, messy story, but I hope you can find some beauty in it, because I did find beauty in it. And there is beauty to be found in Euphoria. It is ridiculously a disgusting mess, but there's definitely beauty in it, and you will find passion and just all kinds of a whirl of emotions. It's just done very well. I really like the story, and I think you will too. I just don't like the way it ended, but I guess it's more about the journey, how we got there, and explaining what happened than how it actually ended. And even the plot writer said, you know, I'm not really that good. I mean, he literally admitted in his notes, I'm not that great at this kind of stuff. I just wanted to write the story that I thought was best. And even they thought it was going to be kind of just a not very popular story. They were like, oh, you know, I hope you enjoy it. You know, it's not that big of a thing. It's just, they didn't realize it was going to be world renowned in the Eroge community, but it did. It got pretty popular. So that's it, guys. Basically, that's Euphoria. Hope you kind of enjoyed this presentation where I explained all of Euphoria and even showed you a little bit of Renee's path, which you didn't get to see before. And I hope you guys pick the game up, maybe. Maybe you want to explore a little bit of these concepts that I've said. Maybe a couple things I didn't mention that I may not have thought were important, but you did. But I will say, all the dialogue in the sex scenes that seems to be story important is not. And that's one of the worst things. I wish I had known that. Because I thought this stuff was important until I realized it was all a game. I realized it was all, like, not a game, but a world. A virtual world. It didn't matter. It was a girl's dreams that were emulated into a virtual world. So it didn't matter. All this stuff was just, it never existed. All the stuff he did never happened. It's all just a game. It's all just a virtual reality thing by a bunch of really fucked up, deviant elites. So that's it, guys. All right. That'll be the Grim Lord, and I'm out.